Hello and welcome to Story Radio, the podcast for readers, writers and lovers of literature everywhere. Today we're going to listen to The Misappropriation of Clouds by Amy Waddell, which was sent in to us recently. It's a beautiful and moving story based on a family member of the writers who was involved in the events that she describes. It's recently been the anniversary of Hiroshima, which happened on August the 6th, 80 years ago. And we wanted to commemorate this occasion with this story.
Yeah, I think this story really appealed to me, and it took me quite by surprise in that it kind of starts off and you're feeling it's quite a nice bit of sort of nature writing, sort of natural world and so on. And that was kind of quite appealing. But then as you realise the kind of other side of it, it really started to sink home, and it was very powerful, and I was really impressed by it. Did you have a similar reaction, Emma?
I did. I think there's a sort of formal kind of distance in the story. It's not one of those kind of grabs you right in and pulls you in with loads of sensory detail. But the more you listen to the recording, which I have to say, Amy's production of this is absolutely beautiful, a really stunning piece of both recording and sound design. You just find yourself getting slowly taken over by this story, and the impact of it is really very powerful.
Yeah, there's a bit of a trend with short stories to have a kind of big opening and not have that build up, and it's kind of quite refreshing to have that much gentler start and kind of just rising up to climax like that.
That's right. It draws you in, and then it's really quite stunning denouement. And I think, it really is like an elegy in the most beautiful but terrifying sort of sense of the word. It really brings it home to you, I think. And I found it very powerful. The writer works in documentaries and seems to have done quite a lot of work on the sort of topic of war. And I thought what she did with this story was very powerful.
I think maybe we should stop there and let people listen for themselves.
Yes, it's a wonderful story.
If he were to describe clouds, words might include ethereal, transformation, moist, soft, elusive, and restless. But words are the antithesis of clouds, and so he chose to watch without judgment. He was, in a word, awestruck. This love affair had begun so early he couldn't place his own stage of existence. He remembered sky. He remembered a great blue sea undulating above him. The sea above the place where he was born was vast, and the creatures that swam through it were brave enough to refuse definition. He learned this from them, this refusal to be defined by anyone or anything. He would lie for hours in the tall grass, hidden from worried adults. Adults determined to define things, to name things, everything, down to the last detail. But he did not need to name things, even then. He would lay in the tall grass, watching his sea creatures gliding by, sometimes sleek and sliding past at great speeds. Other times, larger, slower, boasting great billowing plumes of dark moisture. One early memory was his sea full of feathers, feathers layered upon feathers. He remembered the sensation as they brushed his face as they swept past, remembered without a moment of doubt the feeling of being lifted. Carried through the great sea, eyes closed, wind sweeping past his bare skin, the earth something hard and stoic and defined far, far below. It had happened. They had taken him in, and he had become one with them. Probably, he thought later, when he was old enough to analyze, before I could even speak, their language became mine.
The war came to the very door. The various...
He had devoted his life to them. He had learned their scientific names, had learned the art of weather, the science of weather, the whims of weather. He had learned everything about her, and he had never tired of her. Others likened thunderstorms to temper, gentle winds to the brush of a mother's lips, snow to silence. He could draw the same parallels, of course, but he knew too well that the overall consciousness of the clouds, the sea, the winds, the rain, were beyond human definition. And so he chose to remain awestruck. No amount of detailed research could take the feeling, the knowledge of the whole, the consciousness within him that echoed this greater consciousness away from him. He was, of course, a man. He lived in the world of men and worked there too. He fell in love with a woman. He was able to assign words to her. She had the temper of a thunderstorm, the gentle kiss of a mother, the silence of snow, and she was beautiful. It was a different kind of love, human love. She would listen to him not talk about the sea above, the great animals that swam through it. She had that ability to listen to silence, to follow his eyes, to feel the response in his step, the change in his breathing, the great sadness and great joy in his silence. She heard all of this and responded in kind, even if she did not fully see. She saw that he saw. And she loved him for this. The man on the other end of the phone told him that he was to board the plane the next morning at 0400 hours. All would be made clear once he was airborne. He was to tell no one of this mission, not even the woman sleeping beside him. In this world of men, his silence, his attention to the details of weather and science, had been spotted by the powers that be. The powers of man, of course, were nothing compared to the powers of the sea above and around him. He knew that as long as he knew this, no harm could come of the work they asked him to do. He was wrong. He was terribly, tragically wrong. As the plane lifted him up into the great sea above, he looked down at the fields of green waving in the currents of wind generated by the man-made plane. The blades of grass were forced down in unnatural patterns. He knew the rain would come to give back strength to what had been broken, that the roots were deep and not so easy to destroy. He thought of the woman asleep in his bed. The roots were deep there too. But how to heal them was less clear. He would be flown to an island, the pilot told him. He unlocked the case containing the state-of-the-art meteorological equipment. It was beautiful. Man had a few tricks up his sleeve, technology being one of the ones he admired the most. They'll make contact with you when they're in range. Who? That's classified. Classified under what? He wondered. He did not like the idea of the target of his transmissions being elusive. He had chosen his world, the great ever-changing world of winds and the rains and the clouds, and he did not mind sharing what he knew. He decided to drop it. What can it hurt, he thought. Weather. It's just a weather report they want from me. What can it hurt? It was a beautiful island in the Pacific, lush and green. After he waved goodbye to the pilot and watched the indigo blue midday sun swallow the tiny plane, he set to work setting up and checking his equipment. Before the first needle had begun to wave toward the information around him, he knew. He knew by the way the air smelled of peppered wetness, by the soft moss below his bare feet, by the way the cumulus nimbus spun by overhead. Still, he pulled out his charts and began to write and check off and recheck, as he had promised to do when he devoted his academic life to science. Science, he'd found, only gave names and confirmation to what was already innate knowledge for him. The day passed. He was tired from the journey. He lay on his back watching the great clouds, watching him as they wandered by, trailing great silk shadows across the island he, and only he, inhabited on this day. Night fell, as did his eyelids. He woke to the voice coming over the radio. The pilot gave his coordinates. The pilot did not give his name or the nature of his mission. The radio operator gave what little information he had to the man. When asked, the man told the story of the beauty around him and above him in scientific terms. He told the story of how the changes would come down to the minute. The pilot sounded nervous, demanded to know what was to come down to the second.
Can we expect these nasty clouds to give us a break?
The man didn't like the pilot's tone, but he had a job to do. He wrote the pilot's ugliness off as ignorance. This would prove to be a grave error. The man eased the pilot with stories of how the great sea had seen billowing silver sea animals just hours before, how those sea animals had chased after one another, biting and plunging and finally spilling great drops of moisture over the land and sea below. That moisture had washed clean the molecules for a great distance, making them all the more receptive to what was to come. He told the pilot that the winds had slowed and the sky had cleared for a time. And now there were feathers, just a few of the softest sky feathers. The sun was warming the earth at 0800, and the pressure had lifted to make for...
Ideal conditions,
said the pilot. If you wish, said the man, knowing that there was not one condition that was anything less than ideal, anything less than awe-inspiring.
Wish little boy luck,
said the pilot. Good luck, little boy, said the man.
Goodbye,
said the pilot, his voice breaking so gently that only the most perceptive would have caught it. The radio cut. As predicted, sky feathers brushed the wings of the B-29 bomber as it soared through the sky that would never be this open, this vast, this pure, this full of potential ever again. Two doors on the belly of the plane cracked open, then pushed down on the man-made hydraulics on the molecules below. The bomb, also an impressive example of man-made power, had been activated 30 minutes before, and now it pushed down against the sky below. The sky below shuddered. The man, lying in the tall grass, on the soft moss, on the island in the middle of the Pacific, felt the great consciousness around him heave and twist and wrench in a way he had never felt before. His heart wrenched, then plummeted, though he knew not why. He sat up, he stood up, he looked to the east. What he saw defied everything he had ever known, everything he had ever perceived. He was awestruck. He had never seen, never dreamed of a cloud such as this. It was dark and soot and poison. It billowed up from the earth into the sea above, spreading shock after shock through the great consciousness, deadening the molecules in its path. Awestruck. He was awestruck. His hand shot out toward the cloud of destruction as if to stop it. His hands were small and ineffectual against the darkness in the far distance. They curled into claws. They blackened. They turned to ash. The snow fell. It was not silent. It was not cold or wet, or of the sky or the sea or anything beautiful. The snow that fell smelled of human flesh and human failure.
That was The Misappropriation of Clouds, written by Amy Waddell and produced by Helen Fitzgerald and Amy Waddell. The editor was Daniel Lawrence. The voice actor was Jared Maguire. And the composer was Yuval Ron. Thanks for listening to Story Radio. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast if you aren't already. Goodbye.